Welcome to another episode of FPL Copy Talks, where usually three gentlemen share our insights and analysis on the current Premier League and what it means to the game that we love, Fantasy Premier League. I am ABK, the Arsenal loyalist.
And I am Lukman, the sensible one.
We're not our full strength today. We had a last minute yellow flag. I would say orange flag. Yeah.
So he just like Saka lah, illness, I guess.
Yeah.
Off at halftime, yeah. Similar to Saka. He messaged us last night and saying that he might not be able to make it. He's under the weather. But yeah.
It's like, kind of like a after the deadline kind of thing. Like you don't know like the injury news. And then after the deadline, like we get the news when the lineup came out.
But we move. Yeah. How's your weekend, bro? Do you watch much football?
Yeah.
Other than the drubbing.
yeah, of course. That wasn't the weekend. That was the Monday for me. Yeah, it was It was a nice day to go back home from school too at night. Yeah, but I watched the full Manchester derby. That was an interesting watch, I felt. I think lots of key takeaways we can take from there. Yeah. But
There are a lot of good goals this weekend. What's your favourite? Like in terms of quality, not in terms of moments. Because for me, the moment is Liverpool for sure. But in terms of quality, do you see all the goals?
Yeah, I think I like Foden's one. Foden's goal.
Mine is my man, bro. Johan Wissa, bro.
I forgot about that one. That was good.
It was a bicycle, right? There's Suchek also. There's Rashford.
Rashford and Foden, I think both are good. Both Rashford and Foden's goal were good.
For sure. Alright, I guess it's time we start the pod proper. But before that, don't forget to follow us on FPL Copy Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube and X.
And if you're listening to this on Spotify, don't forget to subscribe our channel and give us the 5-star rating. And also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group where we're running our FPL Prize League. I'm really looking forward to today's pod. And without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 113, The Foden Hour. Let's get into it.
Boss, copy all satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Copy Talks.
It's Freddie Ljungberg again. Push out by Bartlett. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Let's start with Tall Grande Venti. In this segment, we put our purely biased, highly opinionated ratings of this game week. Well, how was your game week, bro?
Not so good. I think this past few weeks, I've really been feeling the effects of not having Watkins in my team.
And Foden.
I think Foden not so much because I don't feel like the EO for Foden is super high.
Okay.
Right. So like it doesn't hurt me so much not to have Foden. Right.
All right.
But I'm feeling a lot with Watkins. So like Watkins is a move I made like weeks and weeks back. Like because like I kind of anticipated that Tony was gonna have like a full run of games. Like he was gonna have doubles and he was not gonna blank in 29. So I thought, okay, maybe it's a good time for me. And Tony was just coming back from his ban, right? And then like I thought like maybe let me get him in for Watkins. And I think at the time also Watkins was maybe like he wasn't scoring as much as you thought he would be, but I think he was a highly owned player. So like I thought like maybe when I made the transfer to the end of the season, Tony and Watkins would have like similar kind of returns, you know, like 1 week Tony would do better, Watkins would do better another week. But it didn't happen that way. Watkins has just been banging it in week in, week out. And I think my rank has suffered badly from not having Watkins in my team. I think I don't really want to do the math on how much points I've lost from this transfer, but yeah, I mean it's another red arrow for me. So let me just run through.
And also, Tony also like been blanking somehow.
Yeah, for sure,
which
for
is
sure.
Not
yeah.
for me, yeah. Which is not good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your transfer, bro. Let's talk about your transfer.
Yeah. Okay. So I did like a a move that what you termed as a luxury move and something that you didn't think that I was going to do because it's a keeper transfer. Yeah. But I kind of assessed my team. Dubravka wasn't playing. I think Karius was playing over Dubravka, and then I thought Newcastle hasn't been great, right? And like, I didn't really want to move Trippier out for a Bournemouth defender, right? So I thought it made sense to me to move Dubravka out for Neto. Yeah, so okay. That was my thoughts, because like Neto is kind of a player. Like, I was looking at Neto's fixtures, and like aside from the blank, so I've already decided that I'm gonna free hit in 29. So that blank in 29 was nothing to me, right? And the Bournemouth's fixtures look really good to me. Like, I really like what I was seeing from the fixtures, so I made the transfer from Neto to from Dubravka to Neto. I mean, like, they kept a clean sheet. He got 8 points, I think.
But everyone else kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, but the thing was that everyone else kept a clean sheet. And even my bench, Areola had like a penalty save with 13 points. So it made no difference.
So last week, you wanted to throw Archer to Morris, right? So is it because you couldn't get Salah in 30 or something? That's why you didn't do that?
Archer? No. I wanted to do Archer to Solanke. Is it? I think it was
you said Archer to Morris, and then this week you wanted to do Stoney to Solanke, remember?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you somewhere along that line.
Yeah. It's just that I'm not sure
about Morris.
As in, like, how long I want Morris for, you know?
Yeah, because like,
I'm grading like a few. I'm putting in more money into Morris, but then like he would just be a 5 point something bench player for me, you know, in the weeks to come after that. So
it makes sense.
I wasn't so sure whether I wanted that in my team. Right, I thought Neto made more sense because I really like the Bournemouth fixtures and the Bournemouth double, and I kind of like also was thinking of doing a Bournemouth triple up for this week. Right. So, but I'll get more into that in my team later.
All right.
But I would say it's a solid 5. I mean, it isn't lower I got 61 points for my team. 4-4-2, Neto in goal. My defenders are Trippier, Gabriel, Ake, Conor Bradley. My midfield, Palmer, Gordon, Saka, De Bruyne. Oh, yeah, De Bruyne has been really disappointing. So it's so annoying to own him.
Correct.
Yeah, so I think like if I had Foden, I think it would be a much better, like my team would be in much better shape than I was if I had De Bruyne. And our friend had Haaland as my captain and Tony, which is another disappointing player. Yeah, so 61 points, a red arrow. I think now I'm in 1.4 million, really slowly sliding down. I'm hoping to turn my fortunes around. But anyway, I'll give it a 5 points, although like it's a really bad game week and bad overall ranking for me. I kind of, 6-0 to Arsenal, super nice to experience. So 5-0.
All right. So I quickly talk about Arnold's team. He got same points as me, 79 points. Uh-huh. He rolled his transfer and he had small green. I think 93 to 91k. So he's still hanging in there in the 200k. And yeah, he got Areola's 13 points, which came in good for him. But
why is it because of Johnston or Johnston is not playing, right?
No, he started Areola. Wow, Johnston played. I think Crystal Palace playing who? Spurs, right? So it was an easy choice. I remember he told me to play Johnston over Dubravka. Areola over Dubravka. I remember he told me that. But Dubravka kept a clean sheet. It wasn't that bad. 6 points. But anyway, okay, so my team, right? I really wanted to buy a defender, but after Mo Salah's, when he was ruled out, right, I think selling him to get Son was pretty obvious, I felt like, because Man City come in this week. He's back in training, by the way, but I felt that I had to sell Mo. Then I was really thinking of taking a hit to, like, even like doing something like yours, like buying Neto or even buying Gabriel. Because my defense is like, I got Ake, I got Moreno, I got Estupinian, who are all bad defenders. So yeah, I really wanted to take a hit. I should have just taken a hit for Gabriel. It would just paid off the hit. Cause 6 points, right? I should have just done that for under. Gabriel is the defender I want until 34, my day end 34, cause I'm free hitting in 29. So yeah, so maybe because I have a lot of planned transfers, right? I think Gabriel is like a luxury transfer. It will be a minus four lah, probably, which I should have just taken. But anyway, because Ake was playing Man U.
One thing that's hurting your team, like I was saying how Watkins is hurting my team. One thing that's hurting your team is this 6-pointers from Arsenal defenders that you've been missing out for quite a number of weeks.
But luckily, like, it's only 6 points. Like, luckily, their attack is so good.
There was this, I mean, Gabriel also had like a few goals, right? I think there were some games where he either assisted.
But recently, not too bad. That's why I was hoping that they won't hurt me. He won't hurt me so bad. But luckily, it's just 6 points. But yeah, I think I should have just taken the hit. I was just playing safe because Aki had a good fixture against Man U at home. And like, I thought that could be a clean sheet too. But yeah, anyway. So I got 79 points or so. Small green, 833 to 760. So yeah, just hanging on. Still not where I want to be. So my team is Dubravka, Moreno, Gusto, Ake, Saka, Gordon, Foden, Son, Solanke, Captain Haaland, and Ollie Watkins. So yeah, I started Gusto over Estupinian. So that was a good... Gusto actually looks good, to be honest. So yeah, he's a good pick at his price. So my rating is around 6. It's my overrank. I know like I got green arrow, but it's still my overrank. And even though Liverpool won, it's still like a grande.
Yep.
6 out of 10. Shall we move on to Brew of the Week? So in this segment, we talk about players that have exceeded our expectations in the week. I think there's only one place to start, man. Like the Manchester Derby, man. Like just a few stats, right? Foden attempted 9 shots in the game, right? So that's 3 times more than Man U as a team. And they had total of 27 shots, right? That's more possession than Man United's 26%. So it was total domination in terms of the stats. What do you think of the game, bro?
Yeah, I watched the game and I think, to be fair, I missed out on Rashford's goal. I tuned in only after Rashford's goal. But City was just knocking on the door. Like, they were just like... it was just all City, I felt. There was hardly any Man U possession at all. And I kind of felt as though it was like one of those days where, you know, like Man U could have like hung on till the end with their defending. I think in the end the quality just shone through for City. Foden is I think...
What do you think of Foden, man? He was super, man. He was crazy good. He was... It's not the first time this season. I think he's been pretty consistently good in terms of underlying and eye test. So yeah, I think like he's becoming like a cool. Like a season keeper for me. But I don't think I'll bring him in now because he has Liverpool, blank, and Arsenal, right?
Wait, you don't have him?
No, I'm saying he's a season keeper.
You don't I always associate having Foden on a team with you.
Yeah, remember Game Week 1 with Darren? I really wanted him on Game Week 1 team, but you guys were like dissuading me to get Foden. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think you've always been a very pro Foden player.
Even when
he's not starting, you always I always feel like you kind of even though you risk the odd one or two games that he will get benched or he, just so that you have him in your team. And at his price point, I think at like 8.0, the price point, I think both he and Saka started out with this season. Saka started off 8.5, is it? I can't remember. Yeah, but...
Yeah, similar.
I think they have kind of similar outputs in terms of...
What do you think? Player. Are you bringing in? Because I think people are selling him too. Because Liverpool next, right? But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't sell him. But buying him in, what do you think? Are you thinking
not at this moment? I'm focusing on. Okay, first of all, they are playing against Liverpool next.
Blank and then Arsenal.
Blank doesn't matter to me because I'm gonna free hit. So after that, they're gonna play Arsenal. So I'm not rushing to bring him in. Right, and I think I want to target more the fixtures for Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth is really good fixtures in the next two. They play both the bottom two teams in the double. So I really like what I see. So I think I'll prioritize that move rather than bringing in someone like Foden in my team. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think you should sell him. I think you can comfortably play him Liverpool away and Arsenal home. I think that's good enough for you to play him.
What about the defense though?
Man City.
Yeah, like, like a lot of people have brought in the City defense for their double previously, and I think it did not work out. Like, I mean, like we knew going into the game that defense was always going to be a roulette, you know. And then even coming to the in the next few fixtures, you know that like your defender might be get arrested. So I feel like it's a sell. Like, if you have a City defender and you want to bring in a bottom half defender, it's a sell. And it's not as though City is like super good at keeping clean sheets. Like, you cannot you can't afford to like have that five million odd player sitting on your bench and not getting clean sheets for you. So I feel like if you have a City defender I do, like Arcade, right?
Yeah.
Sell. I mean, like, if you are looking to bring a Bournemouth defender or what, just sell. I mean, like, you can get a Bournemouth defender for like 4.4 or something. Yeah.
So for my team, Ake to Zabani, spoiler alert, is my transfer. But if Bell is out, right, I would just probably sell Bell instead and then just hide Ake on my bench until 34. And maybe play him in the easier fixtures. But if Bell is fine, I'll probably sell Ake. But I have Estupinan too, which is sellable. But I don't know. Estupinan is back in the team. I know he played. Brighton doesn't look good, but yeah, I think Ake is a easy sell. But for me, if you have Bell who's out with a hamstring injury, I wanted to play him in this double, but yeah, I don't mind. I'll probably keep Ake, but bench him. Mm. But yeah, easy sell. Anyway, shall we move on to... So KDB, what are you doing KDB? Wait, I want to talk about KDB. Easy sell, right? A big game, Kev.
Yeah, I feel like I don't mind keeping him for Liverpool and Arsenal, to be honest.
So
as in like my move that I've always been wanting to make is De Bruyne to Salah. But then the thing is, Salah also plays City next, right? So it's not gonna be an easy fixture for Salah also. So I don't see the urgency right now to get rid of De Bruyne. But I mean, De Bruyne is like he will turn up, you know. Like I didn't, when I was watching the Man U game, I didn't like his position. Like, I think he was pretty deep. He was trying to like orchestrate the attack from behind more than being in the box mostly. But yeah, I said at the moment I'm not selling him yet. But I mean, if I had a wild card, definitely he's out of my team. Like, if I had like luxury of transfers, he's definitely out of my team. But right now I'm just focusing on the doubles that's coming, and I think De Bruyne, he might turn up against Liverpool and Arsenal.
They are playing Champions League right now. Foden and KDB isn't starting. They are on the bench. So yeah, I'll probably keep KDB because you have other transfers to make. Yeah. But anyway, next season, I think Foden might be like more expensive than KDB if he continues in this trajectory.
Yeah, I feel like I think Saka and Foden will have the same price.
10, 11? 10 and a half maybe around there? Ballpark.
I would say 10. Right? I think 10 is a fair price for Saka. Right?
10 and a half also is okay.
How much did Sun start with?
10, I think. 10?
It's 10?
I think it's 10. No. I don't know. 9, is it?
Yeah. It's quite cheap.
Yeah, but anyway, let's move on. I think the next one I want to brew is Aston Villa. Like, Watkins, watching that game, right? That first half, right? Watkins was just brilliant. I thought, like, his whole all-round attacking play, right? His link up, his running, his heading, his shooting, everything was just, wow, crazy.
He's finishing. But then, like, he's finishing.
Yeah, his touch, right? His touch and finish.
He touched the ball and then he just finished the... Henry was they were saying Henry was doing an analysis of it and they were saying how that. It was an Henry-esque finisher. It was
like his all-round play is just crazy in that first half only he's the top scoring player in the whole game at 183 points already. But anyway, in the second half, right, I thought that when Luton came back 2-2, right, I thought if there was a team to win, right, it was probably Luton. I felt like they were like having the momentum, but yeah, they still lost. But I think Watkins that first half was crazy good and yeah, he could have hat-trick also. I thought he could have like hot more after that brace. But anyway, yeah, Watkins, great player. And are you thinking of getting him back?
Yeah, I'm not
before 34.
Not before I mean 34, he's definitely in my 29 team because I'm in free team 29. I think you should be going with Watkins in your team. Like you can't have like a blank where there's only six teams and then not have Watkins in your team, right? The highest scoring player in the game. Yeah, so correct. 29 he's gonna be in, but yeah, I would have more permanent plans to bring him in.
Actually, right, he's 31, he's playing City away, 33 Arsenal away. So if I were you, right, free day ending in 34, maybe I'll just go without him.
until 34.
Which is scary. Yeah. Because Man City away, Arsenal away.
It's been hurting me. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah. But he has Wolves at home in 34, Bournemouth home, and 32, Brentford home. Yeah, maybe I'll just get him. I think Man City, Arsenal away, so that he could return.
Yeah, he could return.
Very tough. I don't know whether I'll bring him in.
Not only that, he will return, but I think everyone has him in the team. So it doesn't hurt, like, even if he doesn't return. You know? Yeah.
Get Rasmus Højlund, bro. Differential. anyone else to brew?
I mean, Arsenal 6-0 again. They're just racking up the goal difference. I think it's a very it's gonna be a fun last 10 games to watch. I think we are already
the race.
Yeah, the race, the title race, and Arsenal has been garnering the goal difference. So I think that's something that we haven't really seen in the past seasons. Whenever we won, we always won like 2-1 or 1-0 or 2-0, 3-0, like.
It's basically an extra point.
Yeah, breezing.
It's a 4-point win. Breezing
through this game side, like in the past 2 months. It will be interesting. But I think again, we really need to start considering Havertz as a player. I mean, he looks like someone that. I mean, he's playing a false nine, right? He's playing up top in position, and basically he's OOP in terms of position. And I feel like he provides more to the way Arsenal play than Jesus does, you know? And I think Jesus could serve very well for Arsenal as a player who come on for Saka or Martinelli in the wings, you know?
Okay, so...
Once the game is done. Like,
last week you were... last week we were talking about this also, right? Like, I was like bringing a triple up on Arsenal. So, Saka and a defender. So, you are still on Havertz over Odegaard?
Still on Havertz over Odegaard. For now, Yeah. So, but I really wouldn't rule out a second defender also. Because I think a second defender is still very good value also for you. I'll put equally Havertz or a second Arsenal defender.
So, second defender over Odegaard?
Second defender over Odegaard still, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think Odegaard plays like the full game and he's talismanic. I think I would just go Odegaard. Let's say Walcott 30 or 31, right? You never know like how... There's so many... You see the bench, right? Everyone is fit, right? Trossard, Jesus and Ketia. I don't know. I would just go Odegaard for the safety and the safety of minutes and like... Oh, he's looking good too, to be fair. I mean, like Havertz looks good, but Odegaard, I'm feeling that the third is Odegaard. What do you think?
It's close. I would rank them almost the same. Close. Yeah, but if I was making my team now and making a third player, I would go either for Havertz or a second Arsenal defender. Right, but I don't think Odegaard is a bad pick either. Yeah.
Yeah. But triple up? Let's say Walker 31.
Yeah, I think a few pods back, I said like a double up is enough for Arsenal, but I think... Right now, I've evolved to thinking that a third three Arsenal, triple Arsenal is the way to go. Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's quickly move on to... I want to talk about Crystal Palace. So there's this Chris Richards guy, 3.9 million. I think they're playing a back three now under the new manager. I think Guehi is out long term. So if you want a 3.9 starting defender, he could be a pick. And then there's their wing back, Daniel Munoz. So... In the last two seasons, right, he scored 14 goals for Genk as a right wing back. So he has decent stats for his previous team. So something to keep an eye on. He's 4.5 million, a bit more expensive than Chris Richards. But yeah, Crystal Palace defenders, something to keep an eye on. I want to talk about Sergio Reguilon. So he got 3 attempts in this game against Chelsea, right? And he hit the post also. And he really got assists. So yeah, I think Reguilon is, I mean, poor defensively, but he's been so super advanced and his underlying is quite crazy. How is he getting a lot of shots in the game? And also, the shots are in the box also. So I don't know what's happening. I think Reguilon is like
Is Spencer playing back three or back four? No.
Back three.
So he's playing a wing back basically, right?
Yeah, he and Roslev are playing wing backs, but Reguilon, he's like... I don't know. I think he's probably still on set pieces too. So yeah, I think his underlying is a bit crazy. He got 3 assists in the last 5 or so. So yeah, I think free hit 29. I think he should be near in your team. So yeah. So there's something to take note. Yeah. Shall we move on?
Yeah. Yep.
Roast of the week. So in this segment, we roast players that could have done much better. I want to start with Haaland's woeful miss, bro. Do you see that woeful miss? How did he miss that, bro?
Yeah, he was just in front of the goal. It was a Darwin Nunes-esque moment for him. Even Pep looked bewildered by it. Like, he was like, oh, like, wow. Like,
and then he could have blanked, lah. He could easily blank. The last goal was like, he just gift-wrapped the goal to him, right? But he could easily blank, and then Saka captainess couldn't. And Saka captainess also unlucky because he got away. Yeah, Saka was above 100 EO, so if you own him, right, and you didn't captain him, you wanted him to blank. But yeah, I think this morning, right, if you see Haaland's goal this morning against Copenhagen, right, it was such a good goal. I think it's just one of those days. But yeah, that was a poor miss, man, Haaland. Poor miss. Woeful. Yeah. Anything else? To roast?
I think you have to roast Sheffield. I think Sheffield is just like target Sheffield every time. Like, if whoever, like, that's why I'm very pro triple Bournemouth in this game week, because one of the teams that they're playing is Sheffield.
They're bad attacking and defending also, right? So like, a clean sheet is like very high also, like, the odds against them. Yeah.
Like, watching the Arsenal game, like, they were playing low block, but I mean, like, I don't know how low he can go with the block, but like, it was just low. I wasn't blocking anything, I would say.
Yeah, okay. I'll talk about Tony, man, the player you own. So, Brentford has been scoring. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, right? They've been scoring, but he's...
For me.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, last four game weeks, okay, 6 points, 7 points in the double, then 2 points, 2 points. Not too bad, but... But it's Tony, and why watching him, what do you think, man? Are you worried as an owner?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to ship him out. So you can just expect him to...
Oh, Solanke, yeah.
You can just expect him to score this game week. Yeah, but
against Arsenal? Arsenal away, bro.
I wouldn't be surprised, though. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he does. Like, he has this knack of scoring.
Yeah, I think you got unlucky, lah. I think the fact that Watkins blew up when you saw him, after you saw him, then Tony, like, I mean, he's been steady, but last two blanks, I think it's one of those things. Like, his underlying is not that good, not that bad too, lah. But yeah, I think, yeah, you want Risa, bro. He's in my free hit 29 draft. He and Tony are double up. But yeah, I don't know. I think you have Tony like you, it's a sell. Just sell him for Morris or Solanke, lah, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's playing Arsenal away, so like perfect timing also to sell him now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like the lesson I learned from this Tony Watkins move. I feel like...
I think it's fine. Like, because you're chasing also, right? I mean, you wouldn't do that if you're decently ranked, right? Would you?
I think I would have done the same if I was decently ranked.
Oh, really? Like,
the thing was that I think the mistake here... I feel like with high EO players... You have to follow the rhythm, you know. If you see like people starting to sell him a lot, then you start selling him, you know.
I think it's fine.
Like, you have to follow the rhythm of the EO. Like you cannot like anticipate, you know, that they're gonna like anticipate that he's gonna have a bad form and then transfer. No,
but EO doesn't mean like he will be. I think Watkins to Tony, right? If you think about it, Watkins, no penalties. I think when you saw him, he got probably a few blanks, but I think it's fine, pan lah. I think Tony looked good also when you bought him, right? When he came back. So I think a bit unlucky.
An example for your team would be something like Saka, right?
Yeah, and Palmer.
Saka and Palmer are two players. I think I wouldn't say they are super high. I mean, Saka is, I think, super high EO, but Palmer maybe at that point when you decide not to go with him. I think this was your wildcard team, right, that you decided to go without both of them.
So I went with Richarlison and Jota instead of Saka and Palmer.
Yeah.
I did the math on that. Do you think I'm up on that or down on that?
I'm not sure. Richarlison, I think you got him at a kind of a correct time or so.
He only blanked once for me, and Jota pretty much return also, but I was still down on that day, like by at least 10 points. But I did captain Jota in one of the game weeks, so if I counted that, then I'm up, but if I don't count that, Just on points, I was down. Even though Richarlison and Jota kept returning for me, but Palmer and Saka kept returning more. But anyway, you continue.
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar. I think it's kind of similar move like we've made down there. I think it's just that you didn't really feel so much that you missed out on Saka and Palmer because you had alternatives that were maybe not as good, but I mean still, you know, there, you know. All right, but these are like moves out of high EO players that you didn't necessarily have to make, you know. I felt.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you missed out on 18 points, then 13 points, 9 points, 13 points. That's harsh.
It's a season ender for me, I think, this decision. Watkins to Tony. But anyway, we move on. I don't think
let's
I have
just
any,
wrap it up.
I don't think I have any other people to roast.
Let's move on to part 2, but before that, don't forget to follow us on all our socials. Links are embedded on our episode description.
Yep, we appreciate your support and remember to give us any feedback if you have any, and we'll be back for part 2. See you. We're FPL Kopi Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.